We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our trash tweeter, Weird Alf himself, host of the WAP pregame show, Jack
WAP. What's up?
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Just built a desk.
Oh, was it an IKEA desk?
No, it was like knockoff IKEA, so even shittier.
Like a knockoff IKEA.
Nikia. It was very cheap, and it's Nikia's, probably
is that what you said, Frankie?
Yeah,
Nikia's, shout out to Duncan. The guys. That voice you hear on the bottom left-hand corner of the screen is our 2K coach and StreamBeat co-founder, Frankie.
Yeah, WAP pregame show is redundant.
Yeah, it is redundant, but I just didn't want to say host of the WAP because that may be confusing to people.
Tell like it is, host of the WAP. That's what he is.
What they call me.
People, we have
many
some
people,
funny things.
Many people.
Cartalinia in chat says, I was listening to Ira. Dude is the most depressing reporter ever. I'm here to change my mood. I love Ira. Ira has a good sense of humor. Listen, I stand by Ira. I'm an Ira defender. Also joining us today, our guest. Listen, we got in a good one. We got in a real professional to classy up this joint. The great David Ramil of Locked On Heat and Forbes and like other real publications. What's up, David?
Neither professional nor great, so I don't know what to tell you. Like, your listeners are in for some disappointment.
I don't know. You're the great. I mean, you're a staple, David. You are a staple in this market.
Wow. I guess I'm just old, or I've just been at this too long. I don't know how to take that. Is that
yes, yes, okay. Yes to both.
All right,
yeah.
Good. All right.
Yeah, you're a staple. So we have David in. If you are listening on the pod feed or on YouTube, I implore you to come on our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. We do all our podcasts live. If you follow us on Twitch, you will get notified when we go live. And it's fun. You can get here. Chat's always great. It's really interactive. It's super fun. And it's just something I want to encourage our audience to do more of. We also do our Hangover Time post-game show live after every single game. And that's on Twitch. And being there live is really fun. And the Weird Al pregame show, which Jack and Frankie host, that's fun. And you get that live. And that show gets weird. So you want to be there. That doesn't get posted anywhere. That doesn't get posted to YouTube or the Podfeed. So if you miss it live, you just miss it. It's not, yeah. It just dates itself very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes irrelevant within the last 5 minutes of the show. By the end of the show, it's already irrelevant.
I mean, really, yeah, because we go up to tip off. So, like, really, like once the game starts. So check that out live on Twitch. And if you're listening on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. I hate to be the YouTuber that begs for subscriptions, but it helps so much. Listen, you have to help us beat the algorithm. And if you hit subscribe, that shit is great, and it really helps us. So make sure to check us out on all those platforms. And if you're not listening on the pod and you want a little convenient listening, you know, check us out there. So that's it for my shilling. We have a lot to talk about. Alf in chat says, Ramil won't show us his face because he's wanted in 9 states. David's ducking accountability. David, I want to start with that Celtic game from yesterday.
Whoa!
Oh, look at that! Oh my God, David Ramil, face reveal in your face, Alphonse Sidney.
Let them wow. Let them fuckers come. I'm not scared of them bitches. Fuck Hawaii.
Wow! That's look right. At this. What an event here on Miami Heat beat. Wow, that was unexpected.
I just
David.
Hit a tear.
That is crazy. That is David. That is the biggest reveal ever made on our show. Well, I'm not gonna lie.
That and the fact that Victor Oladipo wants to come to the Heat.
That's true. Both by you. You are the author of both of those. Yeah. How did it feel, David? You were first on that. How did that feel when that finally happened?
Unfulfilling as hell. I couldn't care.
It just didn't matter.
And at least 90% of Heat fandom doesn't care either, because he's not even playing and is not likely to come back anytime soon. And people on Twitter are theorizing he's getting surgery. So hey. Shout out to another great Heat season.
Mo Harkless has played more minutes than Victor Oladipo this season.
Oh, that's cold.
God. Yeah, and by the way, I mean, the Heat looked to have lost that trade to Sacramento. That looked like the most shoo-in trade in NBA history. And Mo Harkless is posterizing a dude every other game now. What the hell happened?
I don't think you can say they lost that trade, because there's zero chance Mo Harkless would have done that with them. Like, it was an act of mercy letting Mo Harkless away from Miami. It was clearly ruining his life.
Alf says Ramil looks like an old version of John Crotty.
Wow. Crotty's actually older than I am, so that's
funny. Yeah, I was going to say.
John Crotty's an old version of John Crotty.
Schmeathen says Ramil is a zaddy, whatever that means. Chat saying Heat beat exclusive. Philly Heat says Ramil was one of the Sons of Anarchy from season 4.
Oh, I don't know. I've never watched any of them.
I don't think anybody here gets that reference, but I'm sure it's good.
Alf says, I look exactly like how I sound. Yes, you sound really fat and out of breath all the time. Oh, Singer, I love you.
That was brutal, man.
I'm kidding.
Fuck?
Please don't quit. I'm just joking.
Man,
I'm
from Hangover Time.
Please don't quit. I won't go on Hangover Time ever again. All right. So, David, let's talk a little Heat.
Okay.
They play the Celtics on Sunday afternoon in what is the biggest game of their season.
Yep.
And they absolutely completely obliterate the Celtics in the first half. They posted like a 160 offensive rating or something. In the most important half of their season up to that point, they absolutely demolished and dominated. They kind of did the Heat thing where they blew a lead and it got a little too close. How do you take that? Like, how should we experience that? Should we be happy that they played so well for a half, and or should we be more upset that they blew the lead? Like, that win kind of felt weird.
To me, and I know this is quickly becoming my shtick, is that kind of staying even keeled. Like, I don't get too high or too low about it, to be honest with you. You know, it was fantastic to watch that first half, and yet that sense of dread was very realistic. Like, everybody going into halftime was like, oh great, they're up 26, this isn't gonna fucking last. Everybody knew it, right? And sure enough, that's exactly how it panned out. This is just how this team plays, given the kind of lack of talent that they have across the board. They don't have the kind of overpowering scorers that are just going to dominate for 48 minutes. And given that, you know that with the league and the three-point shot and everything else, eventually they're going to lose that lead. And sure enough, they did. But again, yesterday's game did show off the benefit of having two realistic closers in Jimmy Butler, and the guy that you can just say, you know what, we'll do enough in the first half. I think the thing was that they got the contributions from the role players that they rarely do. Guys like Ariza, Robinson had big first halves, and then all of a sudden in the second half, that's just enough of a cushion for Jimmy to kind of take over and seal the deal.
Like, and I know that Jimmy and Bam had like 3 combined field goals in the first half, but they were still they dominated on offense. Like, that's, they're just built that they
making
don't have
passes, playing big plays for others. Yeah,
I thought the way that they were like really attacking mismatches on switches, because the Celtics were switching a little bit early, and they were, especially Jimmy was pretty kind of very, very quick to attack those mismatches. And as soon as that help came, he kind of swung the ball around. Somebody in chat says, Heat expert says, Ramil looks like a hitman. So I feel like this is going to be a theme for the rest of the show. Frankie, I for one love them attacking mismatches, and I feel like that's been more of a staple of their offense as of late. And I thought really that felt like the culmination of it, because it wasn't just Bam posting up smalls, but it was like Jimmy, it was Ariza. They kind of, it feels like they are figuring out one of the things that, I guess the thing that bogged down their offense the most.
Yeah, and Goran's looked a little better at times, especially getting to the basket. Looks a little livelier off the dribble. His step backs, and we saw in the playoffs how much his step back is a weapon, and really unlocks things for Miami. Makes them extremely difficult to guard. They're not just a catch and shoot three team. Jimmy not being an off the dribble threat from three is a hindrance. He's great downhill. He's great passer, great in the post. But when Goran has that becomes that three level scorer, that opens up everything for them, especially with him being a great playmaker too. And we saw Tyler give him a burst. You mentioned Ariza attacking the post. Ariza did most of his damage from two yesterday.
Cuts, post ups.
Ariza wreaking havoc in the passing lanes. Him and Jimmy in the passing lanes is so fun to watch. Them just poking away and creating fast break opportunities for them. And I feel like that's not talked about enough. Them forcing turnovers, getting out to easy offense and transition, which wasn't a factor at all early in the season. They weren't creating those opportunities, and they had to do everything in the half court. Now, even just 12 points in transition a game, well, gives them a little bit more breathing room to not have to rely solely on offense in the half court.
So, like, the turnovers are, like, the trapping has been a lot more aggressive. It's been a lot more deliberate. They switch, and we're going to get into kind of Jimmy's defensive player of the year case and his defensive first team case, but this is going to kind of play into it. They have been really willing to switch Jimmy onto bigs, and when those bigs post up Jimmy, he's forcing turnovers. He's getting in front of the ball. He's jumping passing lanes. He's not just the traps, but just, like, the wreaking havoc everywhere else on the floor. And their offense has been pretty good lately. It has some pep in its step. It's perked up. It's not like in the 20s. It's like closer to 10 than it is to 20, right? So, it's kind of found some life, Jack. And I think part of that is the transition stuff. I think part of that is just the shooting is getting better naturally. But, like, I thought yesterday against the Celtics was, like, a really good example of that first half, especially how everything that has gone right for Miami, like, that's what they look at. That's what they look like optimally. And it's their offense and their defense kind of clicking in that way that synergizes.
Yeah, and I do think it's a matter of, like, it's as simple as just having Goran being relatively able-bodied and having Tyler Hero playing, like, himself a little bit. Like, just I think that much, like, elevates their offense significantly, because otherwise they don't have weapons. The defensive comment's interesting, because I test Jimmy individually is a freak, Bam's obviously a freak, and they have guys like that who wreak havoc in passing lanes, and just Jimmy, no matter what, he's gonna get a turnover, no matter, like, where the ball is. But I don't know how you square that idea of the defense fixing the offense when the defense has fallen off a cliff completely. Like, the defense is not good right now.
But
like,
you don't think that they'll tighten that up?
In the 20s, right? It's 24th. There's a Cooper Moorhead tweet.
Their defense has slipped since their offense has gone. But I think that in the playoffs, you can tighten that up. That, sure. I'm not worried about. Because, like, I think the defensive energy, like, you know, when you kind of ratchet that up, when Jimmy's playing more minutes, when they play, you know, I thought you saw that game too. Like, Spo tightened the rotation, right? So when Tyler wasn't giving it to you, that he got yanked quick. So once you tighten the rotation, you play your defensive guys a little bit more, I think that gets fixed.
Duncan was good yesterday.
Yeah, very good.
Really good. That's all I'm going to say about the defense. I thought Duncan looks really good on defense.
Is it just do you theorize it's just difficult to sustain that kind of energy level if you're concentrating more on trying to be a more potent scoring offense, that you have to sacrifice a little bit defensively?
I think some of it's sad. I think some of it's bad luck too, because, like, you know, when they help from the corners a lot, and that's, like, kind of the predicate of because their guards don't stay in front of everybody. And I think part of their offense getting better is they're playing a lot more Kendrick Nunn. Mm-hmm. Part of their defense getting worse is they're playing a lot more Kendrick Nunn. And that's fine, because I think he just generally competes a lot better which he makes plays for them that he just never did before. There was a possession that the Celtics were in transition, and he made a great rotation in front. He forced the pass, and they saved the possession. I mean, that was a layup. And he's doing that a little bit more. I do think his pick-and-roll defense and his on-ball defense is just still not good. I mean, he's just getting absolutely torched, especially by bigger guys.
Yeah.
Can't really get a contest, even though I think he does a decent job of staying in front of guys, but like he just can't really put up a realistic contest because he's small. But their offense has helped, and I just think, you know, Goran has looked a little bit peppier, so if they cut a little bit of Nunn's minutes and they give a little bit of a bigger diet to Goran, you know, you there are ways to fix this. I think, you know, I don't think Deadman's been great defensively as well. I think he's been good enough to survive. But I think when you cut Deadman's limits a little bit, you kind of play a little more Bam, fewer minutes without Jimmy and Bam, I kind of think that that works itself out. A couple things to get into chat before we change gears. Alf is making fun of me, calling me fat. He says, we can all see your greasy neck, G. He says, G thinks if he doesn't look at the camera, we can't tell how fat he is.
This is a hostile work environment. I won't be
Alf, Ace10195 says Ramil looks like, quote, the one who knocks. He is in the danger. Alf says Ramil looks like he's about to ask if anyone wants to play a game. Shout out to Saw. Cartelina says Ramil says I'm in charge with his eyes. Amen. Yeah, chat's going off. Chat's popping off today. Heat Expert says, I dare any of you to disagree with Mr. Ramil. Chat ruined it for everybody. He's gone. He's gone. Short lived appearance.
I'm quitting.
Oh my God. It's okay. So, that game, so Jaylen Brown is out for the season with a wrist injury. He's having wrist surgery.
Can I just say something about that? Like, everybody's like, oh man, I totally want to beat Boston at their best. It's like, are you serious? I mean, what kind of Heat fan wants to beat Boston at their best? Who gives a fuck? Like, you lost in the finals, missing two of your starters. You know, everybody takes advantage of injuries, right? I mean,
I think because it's Jaylen, and I think Jaylen's really liked.
Sure.
He's cool, and you feel bad because it's Jaylen.
Sure.
I think if it was a different guy, I mean, obviously, like, everybody always has to be like, oh, F this season sucks, whenever anything bad happens to a player.
Right.
Like, that's like the default, like, reaction, even if it has nothing to do with the season, like, somebody, you know, whatever. But I think with Jaylen specifically, it's like, you know, I think fans, especially because of like everything he did with social justice,
no doubt,
he was really like a face of that movement. So like, I know people like myself have really gotten an affinity to him, and you're just like, damn, I wish it wasn't. Damn, like, really him? Damn, he's great.
Super cool. And I totally agree with David on, like, just conceptually, I don't want to beat anybody at their best. If they can just play none of their starters, I'll take the win. Like,
The Heat would lose. Look at the Clippers game.
But the thing about the Celtics specifically,
every game, let's go.
The thing about the Celtics, I do think that separates them is, like, I do think it's an incredibly fun matchup. That Eastern Conference Finals series was super fun to me, and I would love to watch that year after year, whether in the semifinals or Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, as a Heat fan, I'll take the win. Like, I'll take an easier road to the Eastern Conference Finals. But like, as a basketball fan, I did really like Bam versus Tatum. I really liked Jaylen Brown's game. Like, there's that level to it. But if you're a Heat fan and you're saying, I want to beat them at their best, get your head out of your ass. Like, what are you talking about? We're not at our best.
We weren't at our best, like Ramil said, and they called us bubble frauds. So fuck them.
Exactly.
And Oladipo didn't play last game.
Oladipo played all season for the Heat. Like, this is really good. This is an asterisk.
Yeah, but they traded rotation players that would be playing, right? Like, Olynyk is not here because of that. Like, they lost players that were helping them, that were good, that were, like, really, like, some of their better players this season, and he's not here. So, like, when I say, yeah, I kind of get that Oladipo hasn't really played, so it's like, oh, how much of a loss is it? Well, I mean, it's like they did lose a starter because they traded a starter, a guy who legit played a lot of minutes for them, who's not here, who certainly would help them. Like, he certainly would help them. He would be playing still because he's a good player.
He'd be their best scorer right now.
I mean, just the way he's playing in Houston. I mean, damn. Shout out to Twisted Tapioca for the gifted tier one sub to Philly Heat. Philly Heat's a friend of the show. Shout out to Philly Heat. Shout out to Alf, who gifted a tier one sub to the community. Who, thanks, Alf, for donating to yourself. Yeah, so I mean, like, it's weird, but so if they win on Tuesday, they guarantee at least sixth place, right? Because there's three games left. Boston would be down three games without the tiebreaker. So even if the Heat lose out and the Celtics win out, they would tie and the Heat have the tiebreaker. So with a win, they guarantee six. Now, Atlanta right now is playing Washington without Bradley Beal. I believe it's either a close game or they're down four. They're down four. So that's going to be something that we obviously as Heat fans have to keep an eye on. The Hawks are tied with the Heat right now. If there is a three-way tie between the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Heat, the Hawks would go on top, the Heat second, and the Knicks third. That is also something to keep in mind because there is a likely scenario where they all tie. That could very well happen. The Hawks have the tiebreaker over the Heat, which is why that loss without Trae Young really, really stings. And the Heat lost their game without Jimmy, and the Hawks won their game without Trae Young. So that's going to bite them in the butt. I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome that. I mean, the Hawks would have to lose two games, and the Heat would have to win out. So I think realistically, the Heat probably finish at best five unless they get a miracle and they Atlanta just completely wets the bed, like an all-time collapse. If the Heat tie the Knicks, obviously the Heat are going to have that tiebreaker. So then the Knicks, you know, they won a big game against the Clippers. They play the Lakers this week.
Pandemic P, the rat bastard. He was miserable. He's screwing us over still. I can't believe it. Like the Pacers' allegiance is run deep, apparently. But
it's the worst. So that's kind of like a little update on kind of the standings and what's going on with the Heat. I don't know if you guys. I wanted to move on to like kind of what I really wanted to talk about today, which was more like Jimmy Defensive Player of the Year stuff. But do you guys have anything to add?
Oh, I was just curious. Do you have a preferred matchup of the 4-5-6 group right now? Like as far as the first round is concerned.
I think the Knicks, right?
Narrative perspective or just from a sheer win-loss perspective?
Oh, from a sheer, like, I just like the matchup for them. I don't think the Knicks can score enough against the Heat.
Beat them.
Randall is a guy that I think for them is easy to guard because they have the kind of length. Because Randall has a quickness or a size advantage against everyone he'll play, right?
Except for Bam.
And even Jimmy, Jimmy's really strong, and Ariza does a good job on him. The Heat send a lot of help, and he's a good passer, but he is not making advanced reads on those passes. So the Knicks have a lot of turnovers against the Heat for that reason, because he's part of it. So I like it just from that perspective. I know that the Knicks have a good defense, but the Knicks also play small guards that can get picked on, and they play a lot of drop. And I think that in general, that's going to bode well for Miami considering all the handoffs that they run, and they can very pick apart matchups. And I think Spo is just a better coach than Tibbs. I don't like the Atlanta matchup, and we can go around the room here. David, do you have a preferred matchup?
Probably the Knicks, although I don't want to hear about Derrick Rose getting revenge after 2011 and everything else like that. So my biggest concern is I don't want to hear any kind of Rose talk during that series. But other than that, I like Randall as a player and as a person and everything else. And I mean, I like the idea of renewing a Knicks Heat rivalry, but I that was my preferred one. Atlanta, Atlanta, I think would be troubling for Miami. I just their ability to shoot as well as they do, and the kind of variety of athletes, the pace at which they play does not bode well for the Heat. So all those things are concerned.
Frankie,
Knicks, the Knicks shot against the Heat is relying heavily on Derrick Rose to play heavy minutes because the Heat blitz the hell out of Alfred Payton and RJ Barrett and cause so many turnovers. And when Rose gets on the court, they can actually skip pass to the weak side and get good looks. Other than that, they're relying on Emmanuel Quickly and those other guys, and they're not good enough to make reads and those kind of plays at this level at this point in their careers. And I like you said about Bam against Julius, I think that's a great matchup for Miami. Miami will take that all day. And Atlanta, I think they're, you know, Miami will have the experience, obviously, but that's going to be a really tough series for Miami.
It won't be fun, and it'll be on NBA TV.
It'll be so annoying. It'll be very unfun. Yeah. We're going to all have to watch the game on our phone or illegally because nobody has NBA TV. So I don't want to watch that series. Give me the Knicks.
I'm watching the Wizards game on NBA TV right now.
Who do I have NBA TV? What are you talking about, Frankie?
That Jack Money.
I don't have NBA TV. I agree with everybody. I think both narratively and from a pure wins-loss perspective, like the Knicks are vastly preferable. Like, yeah, everybody said it. They can put Randall in a locker. I love Randall, but yeah, you have Bam. and that negates any advantage that Randle has. The regular season has shown that story. Like, Randle does not play well against the Heat. The Knicks do not play well against the Heat. There's a reason why they have that tiebreaker and they don't against Atlanta. I do think Atlanta, I'm pretty confident that the Heat will beat either team if relatively healthy. But I do think Atlanta is a really annoying matchup. I don't like watching Trae Young play. And then I do think Capella gives Bam problems. I don't like that matchup for Bam. I think that I'm just imagining what the timeline will look like. My Twitter feed will look like when Capella's just bodying Bam, just out muscling him for rebounds.
No, it's going to be Bam switching onto Trae and then Capella getting offensive board after offensive board after offensive board because none of the guards can stay in front of Trae.
And it will be like, I think I would pick like Heat in 5 or 6, depending on Depot's availability and like depending on what we see from Hero the rest of the season and like obviously Goron's health. But like, it would be a very unfun series. Like you said, nobody would care about it. Heat Knicks is very fun. The Knicks are fun this year.
I think Atlanta's way more fun.
Knicks. I don't like the Knicks being horribly bad. I don't think it's that much fun. I think it's more fun when they're kind of mediocre and then they're like first round outs because then there's some
Atlanta,
hype around them.
Atlanta would be a better like series. Like the basketball would be a lot better. Like those Knicks Heat games are not going to be fun to watch.
I don't think Knicks Heat would. I think Knicks Heat would be a shorter series.
It would a shorter series.
I think
it's getting 4 or 5.
Heat could go 6.
I mean, that's a good team. I mean, I think that they're good. They have a lot of options. They have a lot of scoring threats. They're really quick. I saw Tiff in chat saying that they're really athletic, and that tends to bother Miami. Atlanta is too athletic of a team for the Heat, and that's true. And that's why Collins does a great job. He's really quick, really active screener and slipper, really springy. That bothers Miami. They have quick guards.
You guys know like, that guys John like, Collins grew up in South Florida?
Oh, I didn't know that, David. I mean, they only mention it every single time.
You guys know Ryan Tannehill was a wide receiver?
Those are the two. Man. So annoying. That Atlanta series would I kind of think if I had to like say, I think that's how it ends up. I think it ends up Atlanta 4, Miami 5. It just makes too much sense for that to happen. So I kind of think that's where we're going. I mean, listen, Miami could also lose on Tuesday and then it a whole new story. And then the Sixers can play all their guys and the Bucks can play all their guys and all of a sudden they're in a so who knows? It's really hard to tell.
Well, that's the question I wanted to ask because there is a chance they end up in the 6th seed. And there's been like a lot of debate about this where I think everybody agrees. I don't agree with this, but I think everybody agrees based on last year that they would rather have the Bucks than any of the top 3 East teams. So I would like love to go around.
Oh, no, I don't say that.
I think I know y'all don't say it, which is why I want to like if y'all could like rank the preferred matchups, because I think it's Sixers are the team I want the most.
Frauds.
Yeah. I think the Bucks and Nets are right there. If Harden is healthy, obviously I want the Nets the least. But like if Harden's not fully healthy, I think the Bucks are scary. I think Drew Holiday changes that team in a way where that's not a favorable matchup for Miami anymore.
Yeah, Johnny I'm 100% called him just their guy before the season. God, I hate you.
Yeah.
You did.
What
you
did
said,
I say?
You said Drew couldn't shoot. He would be a great
No, hold on, wait a second. I said Drew's spot up numbers are at the level where it's a little too shaky for me to give up as many assets as Milwaukee did for him.
No, you said
they also didn't have those assets.
And I wrote about it. I wrote about it.
Traded for him.
I wrote about it before they even got moved. I said, listen, I have questions about his jump shot, especially on a team with already 2 negative spacers that he would start with. And I stand by that. And I think he's able to shoot the way he is because he plays with other positive spacers, right? I mean, Giannis is the only other non-shooter, but Giannis is on the ball a lot, and Giannis is screening a lot more this season for Milwaukee, so that's not a coincidence. I stand by that. I mean,
no.
Drew's been amazing.
I think Drew makes this team the best. I think they're the best team in the East. If they have
I said Drew's the best point guard in the East right now. People got mad at me, but I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious of David's opinion on the top 3 of the East and how.
I'm looking up Gianni's tweet. I am not in on the idea of adding Drew, who isn't a good shooter and compromises 2021 space. Fuck you.
Yeah. Stand by that.
That's fair.
I stand by that. There's nothing. I did not say anything wrong.
No. I would
David,
rank
what
him,
about you?
I would rank him Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and also Milwaukee as the least favorable matchup for Miami. I think agree. The Drew Holiday factor is – something Miami can't get past. Like, you can't rely on Tyler Herro or Goran Dragic to be able to provide that X factor offense that they're going to desperately need in that series. And if that's the case, then I don't know that they'll beat Milwaukee. I would actually said on a recent show that I would say Bucks and six for that one, which I hate to say, but I think that feels
the meme answer. I said that too last year, but why do you want Philly? I know why I do, but why do you like that matchup?
You just want me to tell everybody that I think Ben Simmons is a fraud again, which I did.
Oh, I didn't know that was where you were going, but yeah, sure. Let's go there. Nikias did that on the Ducker spot today. That was fun.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. Just totally said I'm out on Ben Simmons. I think he said I'm officially concerned.
Good. So do I. I think relying on those two unproven stars at this stage in their career, and I don't think that they necessarily care enough about their ability to. I think they're more concerned about putting up regular season numbers and talking about defensive player of the year and MVP candidacy and everything else rather than actual winning. And so they're not as committed, I would say, as Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are and have proven to be over the course of their career. Given all that and the fact that the rest of their supporting cast is better than it was last year, I'm not counting on Danny Green saving that series or Seth Curry or even, you know, Shake Milton or anything like that. Like, they're fine players, but I think you need your stars to step up, and I don't rely on Embiid or Simmons, especially not Simmons, to provide any kind of advantage for Philadelphia in a series.
They have the blueprint to beat Philly in that regard. Like, I do believe Embiid is scary. I think if he had played the number, like, as many games as Jokic, or even like five less games instead of like 20 plus less games, He would probably be the MVP. I don't know if that's right, but like, I think voters would much rather have him than Jokic. And he's been incredible. He's gotten a lot better. I do still think Jimmy and Bam can get him off the floor.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think Jimmy's an incredible at drawing fouls. Incredible at getting in people's heads also. And I think, like, Embiid is a guy you can get in their head. That's kind of weird. Like, that's meaningless basketball talk. Like, there's no, like, numbers to that. But I do, like, believe in that in my heart of hearts. And I just believe once you get Embiid in foul trouble, once you get him off the court, like, there's nobody else I'm scared of, right? Like, the shooters are good, and they're going to win multiple games purely off of their shooting. But, yeah, Ben Simmons doesn't scare me at all, like, as a Heat fan specifically.
So – Philly Heat said something funny. Embiid passes out of double teams like Jacory Harris, Heat in five. Ooh. Which is kind of where I'm at, because he's still, and I've said this all year, negative assist to turnover ratio. And to me, Philly has not answered the two questions we have about them. What is Ben Simmons going to do in a half-court set? And when the doubles start coming, and when they're like very planned, deliberate doubles that are schemed for a week for a playoff matchup, you know, how is Joel going to be able to pass out of that? Because there is, I think Eric Spoelstra is as good as anybody in the league at scheming big guys, partly by trial by fire, because of the big 3 days, they didn't have anybody, right? So they were fronting, they were fighting, they were doubling, they were sending help from interesting directions. They trap blitz ball handler. Like, they do all sorts of things to get the weird zone that they ran last year. They do lots of things to really get bigs off kilter. And I think generally it works. I know Embiid said on the low post like a month or two ago that the Raptors are the ones that like make him feel like most uncomfortable. And I do think that there's a lot of film that they can replicate, because I think Nurse Espo does do a lot of like weird stuff that Nurse does as well. So I think that there is a blueprint to stop Philly's two best players that I don't see with the other teams in the conference, because there's nothing you could do about Durant. I think trapping against Kyrie, against that Nets team, that might be a fool's errand. And the Bucks, you know, I think there's a game plan there, but I think Drew Holiday kind of changes it a little bit, because they were able to help off Eric Bledsoe very freely, and that's not the case anymore. And it's not so simple, because Giannis is also a screener now that he wasn't really doing before, and I don't really know what Miami does, because if you're switching that pick and roll and Giannis is a screener, now you have a small guy in between Giannis and the rim, so you might not want to switch that, which means that you put a guard on Drew Holiday. So there's a lot of things here that Miami have to face, that they have to contend with the Bucks that they didn't have to last year. So chat's making fun of me because I mentioned the Raptors. I was just saying facts, man. I was just repeating what
that Nets on. You mentioned with the Nets there's no stopping Durant's like the third. I think Harden's significantly scarier in that series, and I think honestly Kyrie kind of scares me as much as Durant. That's an insane take. I understand that, but like,
ooh, I disagree. Yeah,
I know.
I think Harden, because like, we've
Harden's
seen Harden
better player right now. Like, he makes that Durant team way better. than Durant this year for the Nets? He's
I think this is a new role for him.
Even that more valuable. I don't.
I think he makes the team better.
If it's just Durant and Kyrie,
are you just talking availability?
Are you talking about an offense too? Because like Durant's like a freaking amazing defender.
I would rather face Durant and Kyrie Nets than a Kyrie and Harden Nets.
I disagree.
That's where I'm at with this.
Oh, yeah,
I know you disagree, and everybody's going to disagree, but like that's my take right now.
I don't.
Durant
you have,
is not
yeah,
Jeremy.
You're gonna have Bam switching onto them instead of and leaving Jeff Green. Give me that all fucking day.
This is, Durant is just big Jeff Green. He's a fucking loser. He doesn't have the heart. I know everybody thinks
Durant is just big Jeff Green. Durant, you heard it here on Miami Heat Beat.
Playoff Harden.
Jimmy and Durant's fucking grill. Durant is crumbling to the ground.
Jimmy doesn't I don't doubt Jimmy can defend anybody, but like, you know, there is a size thing that Durant can just shoot over anybody.
There's a size thing, but I do think like there are, Durant has been bothered before smaller defenders who cannot reach for him. Like,
but bothered for Durant.
Durant has a much stronger playoff resume than James Harden does. I don't know what you're doing there.
The resume is not the same.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. That Harden's been really good. No, let me follow you. You're saying that Harden's been really good this year, and Miami doesn't have guys who can stay in front of him. And you're talking about because Miami has a ton of wing defenders that they can throw at Durant, but they don't have a prayer against Kyrie and Harden. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, and I think Harden creates a lot more for others than Durant does. And I think that's a problem with a team that cannot defend corner threes. And I just see that as a nightmare.
They have the highest contest rate in the league, Miami.
With corner three, like, they let guys open.
They contest the most corner threes in the league.
This is not a good offense right now. Right now, or defense. This is one of the worst defenses in the league. And I do believe Harden exposes them in a way that Durant does not expose them.
Because with the Harden stuff, you don't have the Nets don't have a guy that you fear on the other end of the switch. So if you switch Bam onto Harden, and if Jimmy's your help man, I like your chances. And when the whistle's a little tighter, and Jimmy has been a destroyer of worlds in passing lanes, I think that kind of changes the math a little bit. Now, I get what you're saying, and Harden's really good, and it's not like they're going to, you know, 2012 finals him, but, you know, they have solutions, not solutions, but they have options against Harden that I don't know what they do against Durant. I just don't.
He starts guarding him. Ariza, I imagine, right? Starts off on Durant just to avoid
on Durant.
Trouble.
Yeah, probably.
And then when he picks up three fouls within the first 10 minutes of play, what do you bring in? Precious Achiuwa? I mean, you're counting on him to get first quarter minutes? I mean, there's not a lot
Andre,
of options.
I mean, yeah, well, put Andre on him, I right? I mean, that's a big Andre.
I just don't think they have anybody for Harden. I don't think they have anybody for Harden. I think they have bodies for Durant. Obviously, it's a lose-lose. Like, you're losing no matter what. You're losing
They might put Jimmy on Durant to start. I mean, honestly, they might do Ariza on Harden and Jimmy on Durant and then Bam to kind of on whoever, whatever, on whatever
flavor
of the month center
they're starting. I don't trust this team to contain Harden.
I don't either. I mean, we're not arguing there. I mean, they're all bad options.
To contain Harden and the playoffs. You're gonna
they're all bad options. So
get Harden. Let's get that matchup.
So I want to talk a little bit about kind of Jimmy's defensive season. And David, I want to start with you because to me, it's been one of the more underappreciated stories in the league. And I think Bam is getting a lot of the fanfare and he deserves it because Bam is absolutely incredible. But I've felt this way for a while and I kind of tweeted it for the first time today. I think Jimmy has been flat out better than Bam this season. And I think Jimmy has flat out been the best wing defender this season. He is having remember that season that Kawhi had, where you literally could not dribble around him because he was taking that shit from you. Jimmy has that, but in terms of like, you can't pass the ball anywhere near him because he's getting a hand on it. He has been that like destructive, breaking up any actions. He's been great in the nail. He's been great helping. He's been great in that corner. And he's just been everywhere on the floor. He does guard like Bam 1-5 because they're switching him onto centers now. I mean, the film on him, you know, Jokic defending him, doing a great job getting in front, fronting, getting steals. Did it to Cat the other day. You know, got Cat got stuck on Cat on a switch. You know, Cat was posting him up, you know, kind of inside the free throw line. Jimmy sealed him, did a great job, contested, forced a turnover. And that's just par for the course for him. Like, he's just been outrageously good, David. And I don't know of a better – I mean, I know Ben's been great. I mean, Jimmy has been otherworldly, and their defense, looks way worse when Jimmy's not there than when Bam sits. And it's just been weird. Like, I think Jimmy's just been better. Am I crazy?
I don't know if crazy is the right term. I personally disagree with you. And I think the margin between both is pretty slim, though. So you could make a strong case for either. I just feel like Jimmy's better at being able to provide those kind of steals and broken up passes because of the initial line of defense. Usually when it's somebody being guarded by Bam who is forced into a contested pass or an off balance pass that Jimmy is expertly able to read. Like, I mean, his ability to see where the pass is going, to interpret the timing of it is, I think, better than any player in Heat history, to be honest with you. I guess up there with Dwayne Wade, but I mean, other than that, he's right up there. So I don't know. It's a tough decision. I don't know if you have to make that one. I mean, if we were being coached by Doc Rivers, you'd say both of them were Defensive Player of the Year candidates, right? Something that the Heat.
I don't think either will win. I don't. I don't even.
You mean in Philadelphia or Miami? You mean
no, like I like Miami. Like I don't think either of those guys.
No, they have to be Gobert.
It's going to be Gobert with probably Ben second. And I don't even know who would get third place. I mean,
I think it's going to be Bam. I think Bam's going to be third.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we're overestimating the way national media and beat guys in particular that cover, you know, Utah and Portland and everything else. They don't see Bam as much. You know, the same lack of, you know, people in Miami might not know too much about Jokic other than the national narratives that are currently being talked about. But aside from that, they don't see them as much because they're West Coast teams that don't get to the same kind of publicity here in the East Coast. So I don't think guys that cover those teams have the same respect for what Bam does on a nightly basis. Like Jimmy's the bigger name. If anything,
it'll be Talen Horton Tucker. Sorry.
It's not, Bam's going to get some third place votes. I think he'll get some third place votes. I don't know if he'll get third. So
I think David, he'll get some first place votes.
I think he'll get some first.
I think there will be some people.
From Tim Reynolds?
He'll be in there.
Tim Reynolds, you know, just old reliable.
There will be some nerds in there, though. Like, I think there are, like, nerds who really, like, are fighting for Bam getting national recognition.
No, nerds like Jimmy. That's the thing. Like, the nerds, the analytic people, the film people, they like Jimmy. And I think that they've the weird analytical numbers all favor Jimmy. That's why I feel like it's kind of split. I think Embiid might get some love too because their defense is second, and he's obviously the anchor. But I mean, I think Simmons probably takes a little bit away from
and
that.
Giannis, I mean, Giannis will get some. Giannis, yeah. Deservedly.
But their defense isn't good enough. Like they're like 15th or something. Their defense has slipped this season. Part of it has been them implementing new schemes.
Is the sample of Jimmy without Bam? Like, there's very slim sample because Bam's missed very few games and Jimmy's missed a lot more games. Like,
I can tell you,
I'll
pull it up.
I think it is slim. I think it's also kind of like a meaningless discussion because they play different positions that they do different things on defense. Like,
I think they do pretty similar things now, though. Okay,
they're
so I have that answer for you.
And, like, whatever, but I do think, like, within the scheme, like, if they were on different teams, they could do a lot of the same stuff. But I do think, like, Jimmy is doing stuff that's purely a consequence of what Bam's doing, like David said.
So,
and like
Bam without Jimmy,
symbiotic.
So Bam without Jimmy, 987 minutes, 114 defensive rating. Jimmy without Bam, 644 minutes, 107 defensive rating. Jimmy and Bam together, 1,054 minutes, 109 defensive rating. So the best of that is Jimmy without Bam. Now, again, part of that's lineup noise, but I think pretty consistently it's Jimmy.
What about without Kelly as well?
When is Jimmy in there without Bam, right?
So what, is this Deadman or Precious? Like, goddamn. Okay, so
I think David's on the money here. I think
Jimmy, no Kelly, no Bam, 109 defensive rating.
Well,
no Jimmy, no Kelly, 115 defensive rating.
At the risk of sounding self-promotional, like, I've got Michael Pina on tomorrow's show over at Locked On Heat.
You and Rohan fucking flexing this Michael Pina thing.
Pina's been on my show like 7 times, man. I mean,
humble brag.
David, call out Pina for that tweet. He said Paul Pierce is a better player than Dwayne Wade.
Oh, I did not know he actually said that, but I kind of rattled a little bit about his Boston-based allegiances. But he wrote that piece a couple of weeks ago about Bam as the best defensive player, but if not necessarily the defensive player of the year. And he makes an argument that a lot of people make offensively in the terms that if you're down, if you know you're supposed to be guarding somebody within the last few seconds of a game, and their offense needs to get a shot off, who would you want defending them? Is it Gobert? Is it Simmons? Or is it Bam? Like, you would want Bam out there defensively because of his versatility, because of his ability to guard one through five almost as good as anybody, like individually, and the fact that
that's not a fair, because like defense is not just on the ball one.
Well, neither is the defense an individual sport either. That's the whole thing. Yeah, though. It's like if you're gonna boil it down to like who's the best individual defender, who would you want in a key matchup at the end of a game where you need a stop?
Like, it depends. If you're telling me like who would I rather have on, you know,
KD. KD's a perfect example. Like of the guys that are the top defensive player of the year candidates. Who's the best guy to stay on KD if KD needs to get a bucket to win a game for the Nets? You'd stick Bam on him over Gobert, over Simmons, over Giannis, yeah. Maybe? Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Who is the player that you prefer Gobert for? Because like Steph, I'm taking Bam. Even Jokic.
Right.
Honestly. Gobert.
It might only be like Embiid.
Then
Embiid can attack you from the perimeter.
Gobert's had some good games against Jokic, but like there have been games where Jokic and Embiid have just obliterated him.
Didn't he have like 40 something? Didn't Jokic have 40 something against Gobert right as that was
pulling
up?
Rudy's a drop defender, right? Like Rudy's affecting and protecting the rim as a guy in drop. It's not, you know, when you post him up, he's not going to have the kind of size advantage. And there's only like two or three matchups in the league where that becomes an issue for them, right? Like, so that and I think
it's all the high level matchups that gives them issues, right? So, like who are the teams that they're going to face in the playoffs that you can drop against?
Who, the Jazz?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, the Lakers dropped every playoff game last season. Like, you can drop plenty. I mean, if you get, I mean, they're gonna switch a little more, but I think, you know, I think the Warriors you don't want to drop. I think the Lakers you can certainly drop. I think the Clippers, you know, you can drop and you will drop, and against Phoenix you will do the same. I mean, you're not gonna switch those.
Can you drop like against Phoenix?
No,
I think so. I mean,
against Phoenix, against both of their guys.
I think Phoenix would feast on you, right?
Chris Paul and Devin Booker are gonna pull up all day and kill him.
I mean,
I agree with the Clippers, though.
If they're going to take the, I'm sure that Utah will be very content with them taking long twos for seven games. With
Chris Paul, Paul is a mid-range.
I get it. But I mean, you understand, like, when you're playing these games, like, these are all-time great players. Like, they're not going to be a perfect option. But, like, that's what you do. You can't switch that either, right? And like, we saw what happened when Miami was switching those pick and rolls with Bam on Chris Paul. It's not like that went well for them either. So, I mean, you know, you can manage and survive. I think Rudy's kind of come up a little higher on the screens, which I think is good for them. I mean, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. It's just there's too much. He probably deserves it.
Hawks up five, by the way.
Damn it. So Jimmy is eligible as a guard or as a forward for all defense. And this is going to be the last thing we get to. And Bam is forward or a center. So, David, I have four locks for all defense. I have Jimmy and Simmons in the backcourt. Then I have Draymond Green in one of the forward spots. I have Rudy at the center spot. That leaves me with one more spot at forward where I'm deliberating between Bam and Giannis. Because I think Giannis has been really, really good. I lean Bam. It makes me feel a little weird that I have two Miami guys, but, you know, it is what it is. I think Dre, Rudy... I mean, I think Embiid also has a case as well, because Embiid's also eligible as a forward and a center.
Which is bullshit.
How do you feel about my list? Am I being a homer? Like, what do you?
No, I think you're. I like I said, I guess you watch this team more closely than any other, and so I think you're just normally going to have your perspective somewhat skewed. I guess it's hard. It's impossible to watch, you know, 82 times 30 or 72 times 30 this season. And so you can't see the nuances, like all the things that we point to and what makes Bam or Jimmy so special is what somebody out in Portland is seeing from, I don't know who else, well, nobody on that defense anyway, but you know, so on.
Chat's hating on Draymond there. Draymond's just like single-handedly making the Warriors like a legit elite defense. Like,
see, but isn't that the interesting thing?
As good as ever.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing. It's like, everybody's talking about Steph as an MVP candidate because he puts up 50 points in a game and he's leading the league in scoring and whatnot. It's like that's why the Warriors are in the hunt, but you kind of tend to overlook what Dre does on a daily, nightly basis.
As good as he's ever been on that end.
They're not going to let a Laker not be on the all defensive team though. Like,
but AD hasn't played enough.
But I'm sorry, they still have the best defense, and but they've had the best defense all year. And they're AD the Lakers.
Hasn't played enough.
But no, they'll pick somebody. Like who?
AD and LeBron haven't played enough, and those are the only guys that you can point to. Who else is gonna? They're gonna put Kyle Kuzma.
I think Kyle Kuzma. Well,
what if you put, you know, like say, I mean, even Lowry wouldn't be like, who's the best defensive guard other than Jimmy or Ben? And can you put like Simmons in as a forward then, right? Or yeah, Holiday will get votes at guard, and then Simmons will get votes at forward.
So the thing that Lowe talked about was Holiday's metrics are bad, even though the eye test passes, but like his metrics are not good. Like I think teams are players are shooting 14% above their expected field goal percentage against him, which feels like bad luck.
Yeah.
But it's a little like he's like worse in the league in that margin. So like there's and like the people that are going to vote are going to look at a lot of this stuff.
Drew Holiday.
Okay. But that's Drew's good. I mean, with guys like Drew, that he's also guarding the best player on the team, like on the perimeter. That's not fair to him.
And they're switching more too, and so that's also not fair because sometimes he does get switched on to a bigger guy, and they're not like experiencing how to do that.
Can we just argue that the whole decision making process is archaic and should be eliminated, and certainly shouldn't be tied to like player bonuses in any kind of way or
positions?
Or
either.
Yes. Okay, let's just leave it there.
I like the positions. Like, I like what they're doing. I think guards, wings, and bigs. I think that's how they should do it.
No, I disagree because it's ridiculous for bigs. Like, where Bam is never going to be a first team. I don't know if Bam's ever going to be a first team all defense guy purely because it's such a stacked position and there's only like one of them. Like, I know he's
I think it makes it for fun. Now, I think player bonuses being tied to it is stupid. Chat's hating my USB cable. I got to change it. I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Bam, by the way, this season, when he's on the court, 2,000 minutes, 111 defensive rating, almost 112. When he's off in 1,200 minutes, 111 defensive rating. So essentially the same.
All those minutes with the two-way guys that Bam has had to play. Because Bam has had to play.
No, I agree. I agree. And that's why it's noisy. Let's see. Get Bam, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus. Okay, let's filter this. All right, so Bam without all those dudes. 110 defensive, almost 111 defensive rating. So like 110.79. It's almost the same.
But yeah, I mean, you pick two players on a roster full of guys exactly like that. I'm sorry.
This motherfucker said the two-way guys. I put the two-way guys. I'm like, okay, let's
the whole roster, man. They're
crunch some numbers. Guys.
Like,
no, I listen. I there's a lot of noise in the data. The data's not an end all. I just think when it's really close, the data helps to split the hairs. Which is why it's tough, and I think he probably deserves it over Giannis. I certainly would put him over Giannis, but I mean, if that's so, my all defensive team would be Jimmy, Simmons, Bam, Draymond, Gobert, and I think that is pretty unassailable. I think maybe you can have a couple gripes, but I don't think anything there is egregious. I do think. I guess my point is that Jimmy's a fucking lock. He's now the fact that he's eligible as a guard. I'm sorry.
I think you're overestimating the voters. I think
probably. I don't think he'll make it. I'm saying that this is what I think. This is like for me. I do think that it helps that like guys like Zach Lowe and Nikias, you know, are kind of writing about this, that they're kind of bringing some national attention. I think Coop is really respected. David, you're respected. You got to write a piece.
Okay.
You're big defense. Time.
Yeah. Thank you.
You got to push this agenda because I could do it, but nobody cares about me. I'm a nobody.
I'm telling you, Kyle Kuzma, all team, first team all defense.
No, Jack, hold on. Like bits aside, like, do you really think that they're gonna vote a Laker first? I've not heard anybody say that.
I think there will be a random Laker who gets a lot of votes purely because they're the Lakers and they've been the best defense all season.
No, but even with LeBron or AD will get those votes, but I don't think enough people will vote for them that they'll get it. Because of
I think they're gonna be votes going to the Lakers. I don't know how it shakes out. But I do not believe that they let Lakers being top. I don't think they let that go unnoticed, unrewarded. If it was another team, maybe. But it's the Lakers, and they're the best defense. It's not.
I don't
even
think they get a second team, Jack, because like the second team gets tough because whoever doesn't make it between. So then you have Embiid, you have either Giannis or Bam, then you have Kawhi, Paul George is a really good candidate. Like it gets really tough, you know. Where
you're being
you don't
reasonable.
Know.
What I'm saying is none of those teams, because it's a ridiculous award anyway. Because you're judging something that's necessarily a team thing. Like so, there is no individual on the Lakers, but because this is a ridiculous like decision making process, I would not rule it out to see them just give it to any Laker, because even though there's not one individual that deserves it, they still have had the best defense consistently throughout the season.
Yeah, they will get some votes.
They won't give it to a Laker, but
I'm saying you're right.
They'll get votes. Like a number of players. Even Alex Caruso will get votes. You know,
I think Kuzma will get more votes than people think. Like, I think Kuzma is going to get a lot of votes.
They're going to cannibalize each other. There's not going to be a player, because I think probably the one who deserves it is LeBron, who's been incredible on defense this year.
He's been on the floor for like two games this year, though.
But that's the thing that, like, they don't have
good without him. They're still the best defense without him. So it's like,
I know, but it's a scheme thing. Same with AD. Like, AD went down and their defense was great. You know what
AD
I mean?
AD went down every time he was on the floor. Just every
Frank
play.
Vogel, let's give Frank Vogel his flowers, man. Come on.
Yeah, but Vogel's a great defensive coach. Like, known that. I like Vogel.
Defense is better when AD's off. Right, so like
because the backup is standing up all the time.
LeBron, the defense is fucking 106 when he plays and 109 when he sits. This is crazy. I mean, 109 is still a good defense, but like,
yeah, 106 is like a sample of 30 minutes though.
So the Lakers have more minutes with LeBron off than on. LeBron has played in 1400 minutes and he's sat for 1800 minutes. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be the most. I think this and all NBA first team is going to be interesting. I think Jimmy also deserves a first team, but I don't think he'll get.
That's not happening.
He won't get it, but he deserves it. I had him top five in my MVP ballot too.
I think that's reasonable.
Do you have Jimmy first team at guard or forward?
Either way, I haven't like done the list again recently, but I mean,
Jimmy
Jokic
will not get MVP votes.
No, he's gonna get MVP votes.
He will not be top five.
No, I don't know if he'll be top five. I mean, there's gonna be Jokic Embiid, for sure. Embiid,
LeBron,
Giannis. I don't think LeBron's gonna get that many votes.
LeBron's gonna get votes,
but I don't. So I think those are the three: Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic. And at that point, I think Jimmy has a legit case. I mean, Nikias was talking today on the Dunker Spot that like people are trying to make this Chris Paul thing happen. It's a little ridiculous. I don't really think he should be an MVP candidate. But he's doing really it.
But they're correcting course though, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. And I think they're going to do that with LeBron too. It's like, oh, how could he have played 17 seasons and only win MVP four times? Like, he's been the best player arguably all 17 of those seasons.
Unfortunately, going to get votes.
Is it unfortunate?
Gobert, I don't think Gobert should get votes for.
But he's MVP. The number one seed right now.
They're the number one seed. They've been really good all year. Like, it's not a crime. Votes.
Yeah,
Steph is gonna get votes. Dame is Luca. Will Luca get votes? I don't know. Luca's gonna get votes. No. Dame's gonna get votes.
Can we talk about that Luca thing where he punched that guy real quick?
Wait, what?
Not relevant.
Colin Sexton.
Who did he punch?
Yeah. Colin Sexton.
Yeah, Colin Sexton. Right.
Did I miss that?
Yeah,
what happened?
He got ejected on Sunday.
I saw that he picked up a technical foul and he's suspended. Yeah,
that is a multi-game suspension. Like, he looked at him and he punched. Like, I think that's worse than the Meta World Peace Harden thing.
Wait, what?
Sexton didn't react. That was the problem. Like, Sexton didn't seem to care. Like, he like either grazed him in a way that, you know, we shouldn't be talking about, but like, it wasn't exactly enough contact for him to really flinch or anything like that.
So I searched on Twitter Luca punch, and there's a video that I was watching, and I realized the caption was Durant and Luca going punch for punch. I go, wait a second, that's not what I want.
No, Luca like looks at him. That's my thing. It's like
he swings down. Luca said he was trying. He was trying to.
Oh yeah, he went like low too. Yeah. And then he pushed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think there's plausible deniability there.
I think of all these guys, I think Jimmy has a legit case to be a top five MVP candidate. Like I said, like either four or five, probably closer to five. I think he's been really, really good this season. I don't know if he'll be on the ballot, but he is my fifth guy. I wanted to put Kawhi because Kawhi has been unfucking real, but he has the LeBron thing where he just hasn't played enough, I think.
I think Westbrook
will get some dumb votes.
Jimmy's played more minutes than Kawhi.
Westbrook
They played the same amount of games.
Yeah.
Have they?
It's not a amount, but it's not going to be.
I would put Kawhi over Jimmy on my MVP ballot. Like my fake MVP ballot would be those three, then Kawhi, then Jimmy. And then, like, maybe Steph. I don't know. It's tough. It's close. But I mean, I think Jimmy's played well enough to actually be in that conversation.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely.
I do think I would put money on Westbrook getting more votes than Jimmy for MVP.
Oh, wow. Do you want to do that? I don't think.
No,
I
don't have
no
money
way
to bet on that. So.
I don't. There's no way.
I don't think anybody. I don't really know who's going to give Jimmy an MVP vote. They haven't been good. They've played. They've underperformed. He hasn't been that available, so he has nothing going for him except
Randall
literally being incredible.
Ethan mentioned
Randall. Yeah, good point.
Randall's going to get some votes too.
That's going to piss me off. That's going to piss me off.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more votes than Jimmy.
No,
you're underestimating that Jimmy's probably not well liked even amongst media members. Like, we're supposed to be impartial or whatever, but I can tell you that Minnesota and Philadelphia media does not like him all that
if
much.
If Randall gets more votes than Jimmy, I'm gonna throw shit and I'll do it live on Twitch. I will destroy something. I will pick an item and I will fucking destroy it live on twitch.tv/MIHP.
There are some large media markets that just do not like Jimmy. So that's like Philly, like there's just nobody's going to vote for him. Minnesota, like you said, I even think like a lot of Boston guys really hate like Jimmy. Like there are like weird pockets that really like do not like Jimmy. And again, they've underperformed. There's no story there other than the fact that like legitimately.
But it's not Jimmy's
right.
fault. All his
it's
metrics would
fault.
Show.
And you're being reasonable that like Jimmy is, I think, a player that probably deserves more MVP votes than a Randall or even a CP3 or like guys like that. But like, as far as the voters go, like what you're looking at is a Heat team that vastly underperformed expectations. Again, not their fault, but like you look, it's hard to reward a guy with MVP votes when they've underperformed that much.
I think you're probably right. I just hope to God the voters are not that dumb. I think everything that you've said is absolutely on the nose, and I think you're right, and it's really measured and reasonable. I just, man, maybe I'm in a vacuum where I'm only listening to certain kinds of basketball people.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's what it is. But you're right. I think you're right that like Jimmy has realistically a case because he's been that good.
He's deserving. He just won't get the kind of
he just won't get it.
Yeah. Like you're kind of forgetting, and look, man, you've been in locker rooms, so you're forgetting about the frumpled suit ass, not Tim, but other frumpled suit asses that go around there covering, you know, Team X, and they have to get in and ingratiate themselves to the team, the PR guys, and they're gonna vote for their guys because that's how they're gonna get that continued access. And they're gonna do that. They're gonna give votes to people who probably aren't as deserving as Jimmy.
I'm gonna say this though. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. With 2 steals and that defensive player of the year case, that is fucking bonkers with a career high in true shooting percentage.
But it's all about getting to the line, right? So, I mean, it's not if you're a bulk of your offense is free throw shooting and you're not James Harden and putting up Harden-esque numbers, you're not going to get that kind of consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, like but he's getting to the line. He's shooting 8 free throws a game. Like his stats are all up from last season. He's having the best year of his career. Like, he's legitimately having the best year of his career. It's a career high in every stat except for free throw attempts, which he set last season with 9.1. So, like, he's been incredible. Not points. He's had 2 higher scoring seasons, one in Chicago and then that one in Minnesota. But, I mean, he's absolutely unreal this season. And what he's doing defensively is just...
No one cares.
That's no true. Cares. Nobody cares.
Because they're bubble fronts.
Yeah,
they're
not.
Would you say
they showed up empty-handed? Man. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like to have gone through everything they did and the difficulties of the Orlando bubble, and then to just come up short. It was like, oh well, they took advantage of a good time, you know, a tough time, and they were able to walk away from there. But they walk away with nothing, and this year they've fallen flat, and so there's nothing to show that they were deserving of that Eastern Conference berth.
Okay, we'll end on this because Heat Expert says, I honestly couldn't care less about DPOY and MVP talk. It's stupid. Who cares?
Bam cares. Bam's in for a lot of money if you win.
I mean, the players care, and I think that, you know, for arguing first team and all, I think it's, you know, not just because, like, it's important because, like, there's actually money at stake, but, like, it's legit, like, a celebration of the players that we cover and watch, and it's fun to talk about who's been really good and who deserves what.
Jimmy
and I think
Butler, a Hall of Fame candidate?
100%. That's not even a question.
Is it? Are you? Yeah, you're kidding me. You're, I mean, like,
no, he's going to get in.
No, he's not. First of all,
he's going to get in.
Right now,
absolutely not. There's no chance.
What are you talking about? He has a resume.
No, he doesn't.
How many All-Star appearances?
They're debating Chris Bosh. They're debating Chris Bosh.
No, he's getting. Bosh is going to get in.
This is where I know that you're. This is where I know you've been living in your own insular bubble of Heat fandom.
Five-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, 4-time All-Defense.
Who cares?
That's going to. He's going to get in.
No rings.
And a finals appearance. No, he's going to get in. He's going to get in.
Nope.
He's going to get in. Hawks up 15. Fuck them.
I think he'll get in if he has another run.
Do you think Lowry? I've had this argument with people. Do you think Lowry's going to get in?
I think he deserves it.
I think Lowry's like a for sure Hall of Famer, not a first ballot, but he's like a for sure seven-time All Star.
They're debating.
Seven-time All Star with the finals. Bosh is going to. Who's debating? Bosh is 100% going.
Like Hall of Fame people. Hall of Fame voters don't believe that Chris Bosh is deserving. What are you talking about?
And they're trying to tell me that Sean Marion is deserving?
That's a different group. That's a different group. Look, I'm all for opening it up to everybody. I think
fuck that.
I want both Bosh and Marion in there. I'm pro Marion.
11-time All-Star, 1-time All-NBA, 2-time
That's it. That's it. Look, and I went on this recent show called Pod of Fame. Again, I hate to sound self-promoting, but it was a fantastic debate about this because like the host breaks it down so well. When you're looking at Bosch's individual career and the fact that you can only point to the one All-NBA, and you look at the forwards during which he played in that same era, who was he better than? You can't make that argument. Like, you could look at the breadth of his career and say champion, all-star,
11-time All-Star.
I love Chris Bosh. 11-time All-Star gets you in. Is he better than Kevin Garnett? Is he better than? Is he? Is he better than Dirk?
Player of all time.
That's where you kind of. That's where you get into that.
But that's not his fault.
But that's not the point. That's not how the criteria works. It's
if Bosh played today, he'd probably be like one of the three best forwards in the league.
Okay, and if Elgin Baylor played today, he'd be LeBron James. I mean, that's like everybody forgets.
Chris Bosh
Baylor.
Better than Elgin Baylor. Chill out.
Don't do that.
I do think if Bosh did not get the blood clots when he did, I think he would be a shoe-in because I think they would have had a deep run.
How many 11-time All-Stars? Don't get in the Hall of Fame with two titles.
But how many one All-NBA players go into the Hall of Fame? That's the thing.
Being All-NBA is hard. That's not easy.
Derrick Rose a Hall of Famer?
No.
MVP? How many MVP winners don't get in?
Absolutely not. Him. He's going to be the first. Absolutely not.
And
he's
I'm
not
all
Hall
for
Famer.
That, too. Keep his ass up.
I agree with you. He shouldn't be, but I do think, he has an MVP and people love him.
I wanted to see how many All-NBA teams Dwayne made to make a point. Man, Dwayne was really good.
Dwayne was really good. I
he's getting in.
That one more season where he was playing really well. They were the top of the East, and Goron would have, I think, made him look a lot better.
I can't believe that you guys think that Chris Bosh is for sure not getting in the Hall. Chris Mullin's in the Hall of Fame.
No, you're misinterpreting.
And the Olympics, the gold medals are going to weigh in his favor. Like
They're debating it. And that's bronze medal. It's not a shoe-in that he's not getting in, but
it's a basketball Hall of Fame, so no college credentials to his name.
Has Ray Allen gotten in yet?
Yes, he's inducted this summer with Kobe. So no college credentials for Chris Bosh.
Did they already vote for this season? Was Chris Bosh available?
No, he's a nominee. He's not elected. This is for next year's enshrinement. The enshrinement next year will include Chris or not. I think that's the debate.
Ben Wallace isn't in. He's a 5-time All-NBA, 4-time Depot.
I mean, Chris Webber is the champion.
Chauncey's not in, too.
Webber's been a multi-time
nominee. Is Bosh better
than
Webber?
Yes, Chris Bosh is a better player than Chris Webber.
But do people think that?
No.
I don't think people think that.
You know why people don't think that? Because TNT's little propaganda machine, Charles Barkley and all these people are just propagating Chris Webber to the Hall of Fame that people accept that as fact. I'm not sure that Chris should be a Hall of Famer, but whatever. Billups to me is an interesting case. 5-time All-Star, All-NBA, 2-time All. Huh?
He's a role player. He's a glorified role player.
Finals MVP, 5-time All-Star.
Andre Iguodala?
I think he is.
I think he's got the international
finals MVP.
Too.
He's got gold medals.
But what does he have that Bosh? And again, Bosh is my favorite basketball player of all time. But Iguodala led a Sixers team, was really good, an all-star level player, had a really good year with the Nuggets.
One all-star team.
But
Draymond Green
has a finals
zero MVP. All NBAs.
Draymond.
Zero All NBAs.
Draymond.
Draymond's gonna get it.
Draymond's in. Yeah.
See, you've got a turnstile for your door.
What do you mean I got a turnstile? Draymond's a multi. Draymond's a multi-time All-Star, a multi-time champion, a two-three-time Defensive Player of the Year, and he's made All NBAs.
Robert Horry is a multi-time champion. Come on, man. John Sally.
But I'm saying it's the multi-time champion. It's the multi-time All-Star. It's the All NBA, and it's the multiple Defensive Player of the Year.
Who averages what? 11 points per game.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
I think the Defensive Player of the Year. It does. We'll get him in.
He's like literally like probably the best defender who ever lived. Like,
no.
Yes, Fez, I did say that Bosch is better than Elgin Baylor. I have the fucking guts. What about
you
guys?
I'm sorry,
that's ridiculous.
No.
You've never seen Elgin Baylor. I don't think you even know who Elgin Baylor is. I'd say you don't know how to spell him, but that's for sure you don't know how to spell him.
I have no idea how to spell Elgin Baylor.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.